Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tail.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused. I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge this season of The Passage now.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
What's Hunting Man for Sport? This podcast, Welcome to Worst Year Ever, the only podcast where we hunt the most dangerous game of all, men. Specifically, TV's Tim Allen.
I don't do it for sport, though. I do it for fun. It's for, like, for survival.
Yeah, for fun, for the erotic pleasure, for vengeance, because...
I did Allen almost say for fun.
Narked on all those guys. Are you aware that Tim Allen narked on a bunch of guys when he got busted trying to smuggle cocaine on an airplane?
No.
Gave his friends up to the cops. They all went to prison. He went on to be... Yeah, that's absolutely true. You can look that shit up. Tim Allen narked on his friends, sent him to prison, and then became TV's darling Tim Allen, champion of conservative values, and also a coke mule. It fucking rules. That absolutely happened. Very
wow.
funny.
Hey.
I thought that he paid his dues.
He made his friends pay their dues, and he went on to be on Home Improvement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Friends, do you want to introduce your that other voice? No?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Shireen. How are you doing today?
I can just be a floating voice this whole time, and people will just wonder what this cartoonish voice is.
Yeah.
I'm fine. This is Shireen. Hi.
Yeah, Cody. Katie had to take off for a week. She drove up in a Ryder truck filled with something very heavy and said she was headed in the direction of a federal building. No idea what that was about. But Shireen is here this week.
First time she's ever said something like that. So.
Yeah, really weird. Yeah. Yeah.
You never know.
Thank you for
people.
Being here, Shireen.
Thanks for having me. This is truly an honor. Like, I can't believe you were like, we need someone to come in, and someone thought of Shireen. Mm-hmm. That is surprising to me, but here I am.
I think it's more than someone. It was, like, multiples.
It was multiples. We said, turn on the Shireen signal, and Sophie was like, thank God, we spent $250,000 on that signal. We really need to justify that money to corporate.
Yeah.
And by God, we did.
And here we are.
Here we are. Wow. Honored. Blessed, honored. Thank you so much, the both of you. Maybe white men aren't terrible.
Thank you. That's exactly what Cody and I are trying to do every day. Convince people that white men are good.
Yeah.
That's our job.
Just to get people to say it on record.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have it.
I mean, now it's recorded. Now they can use that for anything I ever say. You know, anytime I trash a white dude, they're going to play that on loop and be like,
Shireen says, # not all white men.
Yeah. Oh God, that's
say it. Say it, Shireen.
That is Twitter suicide. That is Twitter suicide. Yeah.
Speaking of white men, and of a kind of suicide, I guess we should talk about Tucker Carlson.
Oh, good. I love.
I mean, I almost forget how good your segues are, but you surprise me every time. Continue.
That's the only thing I went to college for, Shireen. Seven years. Yeah. I mean, it was 4 years of intense instruction, then 3 years of apprenticeship to the actual guy who runs the Segway company until he drove off that cliff in Scotland and died on a Segway.
R.I.P.
Needless to say, I was taught by the best. How do you feel about Tucker Carlson, Shireen?
I want to throw up just hearing his name. I imagine his stupid face all scrunched up every time I imagine his stupid face. And the look on his face just constantly makes me mad. I don't think a lot of people I can just look at and my blood boils. Shireen, and I just don't like him.
Shireen, do you remember what I told you last time you came on Behind the Bastards?
No.
That you're my favorite person to make fun of white men with.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh no, did she warn me not to say something?
No.
I just think, remember what I fucking told you?
Remember what I said?
So fitting that you are here today for this event.
I mean, this is my favorite hobby. I think I'm okay at it, you know? Like, everyone has their strengths. I'm not good at much else. So I just love to tear apart dumb white men, and he's one of the dumbest.
You know, I wish I agreed with you that he was dumb. And I think there was a time when we all thought that, right? When Jon Stewart had that, was probably the apex of us thinking that Jon Stewart could be a force for good in the universe when he embarrassed Tucker Carlson on national TV. Mm-hmm. But then To the point of getting his show canceled, but Tucker did
he
not
He stopped
go
wearing
away.
A bow tie because of that. That is why he stopped wearing a bow tie.
The power! The power!
It was a nice moment. It was one of those, Jon Stewart, I wish you'd retired after that and never come back into the public eye. And we could have just remembered you from that moment and your appearance on Half-Baked, which was also pretty solid.
And the faculty.
Oh, and the faculty, yeah.
Let's be fair.
But he had to come back into the public. Anyway, unfortunately, Tucker Carlson also didn't disappear from the public eye. And... Mm-hmm. He's kind of built over the last, really in particular, the last 4 years, turned himself into the mouthpiece of the American fascist movement on cable. And he is the most popular cable news host, something like 3 million people tune into his show every, however often this is, nightly, right? He's very popular and he's very extreme. And I can remember when I first started thinking about him was kind of, you know, I was doing anti-fascist research starting like 2018 or so is really when I got switched over from studying, you know, Islamic extremism to that. And I mostly focused on like what actual Nazis were saying in their little chat rooms to each other. And they kept bringing him up. And usually they would say like, oh, he's a cuck, but he's right about some things. But like I noticed over the course of a couple of years, there being this like growing appreciation for his ability to mainstream white nationalist talking points. Daniel Harper, who does the wonderful podcast, I Don't Speak German, and is a great researcher, pointed out that Chris Cantwell, the crying Nazi from the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally, would go on his show and like play Tucker segments and then read sections of Mein Kampf that like lined up with the point that Tucker was
making
that segment. And it's, I mean, I've gone from being like, oh, he was just another Fox host to no, he might be the most dangerous man in America. Like legitimately might be the most dangerous. Certainly within the American media, you know?
He is the he's like textbook definition of a fascist propagandist. That is what he does. That's his role. And he knows that that's his role.
My impulse is never to give that kind of person that much credit. Like, I don't want to believe they're that successfully smart and good at what they do. But I guess in this case, he's probably not that dumb. And he knows exactly what he's doing. And he's feeding the flame of these very hateful people. But every time... So last year, do you remember that thing that happened where Fox News won a court case saying that Tucker Carlson is not journalism? Like, he's not a journalist. Like, you should never take him seriously.
Yeah.
Like, how does that not be... That's the only thing I think of when I think of him now. Like, literally, I don't know.
You think critically about media... It doesn't matter to the people who like him. Alex Jones has had the same thing. Alex Jones has had his lawyers explain, like, he's he's not telling the news, right? He's not like, it, this is like a performance, right? That's happened a few times. This isn't even the first time Fox News has gone in court and argued like no one would mistake what we're doing
like,
for
news.
Like,
they literally said that no reasonable viewer would take him seriously. Like, that's pretty funny.
I think it happened to Maddow recently, too. Yeah.
Like, where they just argue, like, yeah, Rachel Maddow, like, she exaggerates. She's a hyperbolic, and it's not, like, it's not straight news.
I mean, and the reason that you would say something, it's the easiest legal argument to make to defend yourself in that situation, right?
Because like, oh, if this you're entertainment, this isn't real.
And they know no one's, like, none of Maddow's fans think any less of her as a result of that. None of Carlson's fans give a shit about these court arguments, just like none of Alex Jones's fans give a shit.
Yeah, no, they just want the things to be said to, like, the most people in the country, right?
Yeah.
I do think before we get, like, really, really deep into this, I think that there's an important passage from Tucker's biography.
Oh, God. Cody.
The things he says on television are very silly and stupid, and you can watch any of his monologues and go, well, that's not true, or like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And we could go through many, many examples. He did 5 minutes, like a 5 minute, like fifth grade book report on like why America's great. And it's like part of it was like how we don't eat dogs and stuff like that. It's just nonsense.
Right.
He's so silly.
It
yeah,
conviction.
Especially since we absolutely
we eat pigs. We
eat
pigs.
Dogs.
We eat dogs. We eat pigs, though. Like, it's the whole thing is just like. Also, in the segment, he started talking about like the beautiful trees that America has, and it's all photos of palm trees which were brought
are
here.
All imported. Yeah,
it's amazing.
So he's just a silly man. I think something that speaks the most to him and what an absolute fraud he is, even though he is like he's a smart liar, is this passage from Tucker describing. He used to be like a quote journalist. He actually wanted to work for the CIA, but they rejected him. And so he was in print. And here's this little short little paragraph. This is about his first appearance on television. I was heading back to my desk with a takeout hot dog. First of all, what a fancy boy calling it a takeout hot dog.
Yeah.
I was heading back to my desk with a takeout hot dog, that phrase that people use, one afternoon when I ran into the receptionist. She asked me what I knew about the OJ trial. My instinct was to answer honestly, just about nothing. But for some reason, I caught myself. I asked her why she wanted to know. Well, she explained, Dan Rather's booker just called looking for an OJ expert to go on 48 hours tonight. Everyone else is still at lunch. Can you do it? He was on TV that next.
Wow.
Like, that's his origin story is lying about knowing about stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I think that is all you need to know about him.
But the fact that he said that himself is hilarious to me. Like, he just admitted to just being
care.
The ultimate bullshitter.
Yeah, he just does not care. And it works for him. That's why. Yeah.
That's a whole type of person. There's actually a lot of, like, evolutionary psychology theory devoted to why certain individual, like the evolution of overconfidence, right? Because you have this, everyone knows about the Dunning-Kruger effect, right? The idea that the people who are most confident of their abilities often are the least capable in the things that they're most competent about or confident about, right? People overestimate their own level of confidence constantly. And there's the question is like, I write about this in my book, A Brief History of Vice, but the question is like, why is that so common? Because it seems maladaptive, right? It seems like it would just get you killed, and that wouldn't be such a common thing. But it's everywhere; it's all over civilization. And clearly, it's not maladaptive. Is the reality? So why is that? And one of the theories is that you essentially you have two organisms, right? And a resource in between them, food or something. Both of them want it. Both of them. Neither of them knows if they would win in a fight against the other. The one that assumes, of course, I would win in this fight and goes for the food, sometimes it might get into a fight and it might lose that fight. But more often than not, the other organism is going to back off to avoid the fight and then it gets the food. Like being overconfident when you have nothing to back it up is actually a really smart evolutionary strategy. And yes, some fraction of people who have the same kind of brainworms Tucker Carlson has die or get embarrassed on live TV and laughed out of civilization. But a lot of them wind up millionaires who successfully wrench the national political wheel harder towards fascism.
Right.
Which is a bummer to think about that way, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
The ultimate grifter.
It is. He is. He can say what he wants, and no matter how silly or very obviously wrong, it's very frustrating to watch him speak, actually, because it's like I want to speak to him in a room, like, for just a few minutes with no cameras around, because he's so obviously aware of how full of shit he is. Mm-hmm. But he'll never face that music.
No, and it wouldn't matter if he did. There's literally nothing you could get him to say in private that would have any influence on how his fans see him. Because that's not a Tucker thing. That's an everyone thing, right? That's why cancel culture is such a ridiculous idea, because by the time anyone is famous, whatever crimes they commit are very unlikely to have any sort of broad impact against their fan base, because everything is a cult today. And cults are famously immune to rationality, which is coming across as more hopeless than I think it is. But on the upside, everyone dies.
Ooh.
That is the one sure thing that will happen. That is the only thing we can really know, that everyone dies.
Yeah.
Death is the ultimate equalizer.
Yeah, eventually all of these people and all of their fans will be dead and something else will exist. And it will also probably suck, but I don't know.
But then it'll die.
It'll die too. Yeah, exactly. See? Everything's fine.
Yeah. This is the confidence we need.
Everything will die but crocodiles and great white sharks.
Yes.
And tardigrades.
And tardigrades, of course.
Yeah.
And the American dream.
And the American dream. So
if you just looked up, like, what the fuck?
What should we? I guess
shaking her head.
Returning to the subject of Tucker Carlson. So, about like a month ago, he got on his show and he started talking about like replacement theory shit. And replacement theory, if you'll remember, the Christchurch shooter who gunned down 50 people in mosques. His manifesto was called The Great Replacement, and it was about white genocide. This idea that liberals and cultural Marxists are using refugees to replace white people, which is, I don't think we need to say this in our show, but is obviously false. There's, for one thing, more white people than there have ever been at any point in the history of the planet. Of all the things to worry about, it's comprehensively ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, but also, like, who cares?
Who gives a shit? You
aren't being replaced. You aren't. Yeah. Your children might look different than if you fucked a white person.
Yeah.
Go fuck who you want. Like, the whole thing is just nonsense.
Who cares? Because if you really want to look, you'd say, like, hey, on a long enough time frame, all of the races are going to get replaced by different races because people will interbreed to the extent that people will be different in 20,000 years than they are today in a variety of ways. That's just evolution.
Well, it's it's just like it presupposes all this stuff about like it's fearful to people who think that that certain races have certain qualities, right?
Yes, exactly.
And the culture is connected to it in a way that that they can't separate. So they're fearful of like, well, if they did this, then they're all going to be like this, and it's just nonsense.
Right. No,
argument is so funny though, because didn't he say something about like pretend you're in sixth grade and your family suddenly adopts children that don't look like you and they all get new bikes? And he was saying that, like, wouldn't you think that, like, oh, my parents love these children more than they love me and my white brothers and sisters? It was the most ridiculous parallel I've ever heard. But that's what he does. He makes it this like passionate, like. This isn't real. Like, white people are like the favorites of the world or whatever he's trying to say. Like, it's so stupid.
He's very quote, good at that, like, appealing to emotion, because that's all he has. He doesn't have actual information or facts. Fact checked constantly. He's always wrong or misrepresenting something. It's always emotion and taking these like very childish analogies.
Yes.
Because, yes, I guess that is how a child would react if that happened. A, that's not happening. B, if it were, you're an adult, Tucker.
Yeah. Tucker is children. You know,
like,
why?
Yeah. Because
they're bad at judgment.
Like, the idea that, like, of course adults are going to act like fucking kids if something different happens in this. Like, it's so It's so also just childish
equating,
and silly.
It's equating like the parents with America. Like the mom, yeah. The parents are just like, mom and dad, America. And then suddenly they're preferring in his mind, like people of color, immigrants or whatever. And white people are just getting forgotten about. They're literally being replaced. And it's just... It blows my mind.
It's just so silly and just like, I mean, and people do this all the time with like the budget, the national budget is like your budget at home. It's like, well, no, it's not. I can't print my own money. I can't like issue, like all this, all the reasons that's silly. But if you want to make a point that's wrong, that's how you do it. Right. And you get people to emotionally invest in this idea and go, oh, mm-hmm. wow, that's right.
I just love that, like, he puts it in words that, like, my listeners will understand if I equate them with a sixth grader.
Well, that's
it's amazing. Like, you think about how you could extend his logic, and it's like, well, you wouldn't trust a 9-year-old with a Ford F-150, so they shouldn't be legal. Because what if a 9-year-old was able to drive one? It's like, well, children often make bad judgmental choices. I'm sure a kid would feel jealous in that situation. That's not a that's not a reason.
Also, children can be sat down and explain things to, and then they'll be like, oh, I guess I didn't look at it like that. You're right. I'm not going to act like a stupid fucking child.
It's almost like I feel dumb that we're like arguing this out because we're putting more thought into it than he ever did. Like, that's not the
point. I didn't
mean
to bring it up to argue it out. I just thought parallel. So I'll find the tweet that I saw. But
it's perfectly emblematic of how he presents his what is fascist bullshit? Like, you wrap it up this way because it's like folksy and
simple. Yeah, it's always harkening like, back to like,
But the actual message is really sinister, which is, among other things, we don't have enough to take care of other people. Like, your family will go without if we provide basic life-saving care to other people. If other people's, and the extension of that is, if people who are not white and in the United States have a decent standard of living, it means you're suffering. Like, that is where that thinking goes.
But, and here's the thing, and we'll probably get to it with one of the quotes about the larger topic we're talking about, but one thing that he does that is very sinister, one of the many things, because he says stuff like that all the time. You're being replaced, this, you know, they're taking this from us. And you know, if they can do this, then what are you going to have? And so on and so forth. He never, puts forth the idea that we should take care of everybody. He's not like a socialist. He's not saying you should have socialized health care.
Well, Glenn Greenwald calls him a socialist.
I'm familiar. but he never actually pairs it with anything tangible that they should be doing. He always frames it like they're not trying to make your lives better. You don't want them to make their lives better, because any suggestion on how to do that, you'd say it's like commie stuff and like it's destroying America. So it's all these layers of this like sinister approach of like, oh, they're going to take everything from you. But also like the government can't like give you stuff. We shouldn't like do anything about it. I mean, he's a national socialist is what it is. I just hate him so much and how he slips this stuff in where he will say the government doesn't want to help you. You don't want them to help them. He frames himself as like a man of the people when he's like Swanson Airboy who doesn't actually want taxes to be raised or any sort of social programs.
No, because that would mean less for him if other people aren't in absolute desperation. Tucker Carlson is at least less relatively wealthy than them, and he can't handle that. There's a bunch going on. Like the quote from last month, or I guess month before last, that was so unsettling was demographic change. This is Tucker. Demographic change is the key to the Democratic Party's political ambitions. Let's say that again for emphasis, because it is the secret to the entire immigration debate. In order to win and maintain power, Democrats plan to change the population of the country. They're no longer trying to win you over with their program. They're obviously not trying to improve your life. They don't even really care about your vote anymore. Their goal is to make you irrelevant. And this is one good example of like how his stuff is, because that is great replacement theory. That's great. Now, when Nazis say great replacement, they talk about how, you know, they use racial slurs. They'll talk about like white people are being replaced like with, you know, these lesser human beings. You can't say that on TV. Even Tucker's listeners, most of them would be like, oh, that's kind of fucked up. But you can say it this way. You can say instead of, you know, these racial slurs are going to replace and, you know, rape all the white women, you say the Democratic Party is demographically changing this country in order to gain power, and they're trying to replace you or make you irrelevant. And the Nazis recognize, quite frankly, that Tucker's a better propagandist than them. And I found a good Vanity Fair article that kind of broke down the response to just this broadcast through the kind of far-right media ecosystem. Users on 4chan were saying stuff like, holy shit, I just watched Tucker's replacement segment. This is a turning point in the program. People praised him for, quote, naming the Jew on national television, which is a thing they do. I think a phrase Nazis use to where you're basically saying, like, your goal is to name the Jew in increasingly public places, to point out that white America's ills are responsible for the Jews. They saw what him blaming the Democratic Party as him naming the Jew. People said shit like, hail Tucker. They compared him to VDARE, which is a white nationalist anti-immigration organization. Nick Fuentes tweeted this week, Tucker red-pilled 4 million people, and there is nothing liberals can do about it. And Nick Fuentes is he's a Holocaust denier. He's a Nazi. He's the head of the Groyper movement, which is a far-right, like, teen-dominated right-wing movement. He's the most of the actual, like, openly fascist activists. He's the one who worries me the most. He's got some strong George Lincoln Rockwell vibes to me.
Right.
But you know who doesn't have strong George Lincoln Rockwell vibes?
God.
Simply Safe.
Simply Safe does not. That's right, Cody. That's right.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go, right? There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. On NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's part existential deep dive and part game show. I ask actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to ask some of life's biggest questions. Listen to NPR's Wildcard on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Oh, we're back, and we're talking about which of our sponsors aren't white nationalists. And the answer is all of them aren't. No white nationalist sponsors on this show unless the Koch brothers or Black Rifle Coffee have gotten another ad through, in which case we apologize for advertising
for
a white
Nazi
supremacist organization. Yes.
Convincing.
It
you
happens
convinced.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Cody, Shireen.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Robert, Cody. What if we say each other's names back and forth Shireen. Until the end?
Mm-hmm.
Robert.
Shirodi.
Shireen.
Shirodi. Maybe. Yeah.
If you guys were like a road act, that would be your name.
I mean, road is in there too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shirodi. Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This
sure,
is great.
It's like positive. Sure, like, sure, Rhodey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Wow.
We're where really getting we somewhere here.
So I actually wanted to talk briefly about Tucker Carlson.
Oh, good.
Oh, you do? Wait, how? Finally. Why would you say
if that's
that?
Okay, like out of the blue. Yeah. He's actually been, it's interesting because the audience has always been there and they've always been hinting at this stuff for years, like since he got his show back, basically. There's always been like, wow, he's like, I can't believe he's saying like Nazi stuff. And this is from people both concerned about that and excited about that for years. There's one piece he did this like 3 years ago. Actually, we did a piece on this on Some More News. It's called Tucker Carlson is a Line Craven Dunce, if you want to check it out. But it's about this article in National Geographic about this small town called Hazleton, Pennsylvania. And he talks about the demographic changes. And he's complaining about, like, one of his big things, like, we never voted for this. We never voted for our demographics to change.
What?
And it's very interesting in a lot of ways. I'm not going to unpack it, but most of it makes it clear that he did not actually read this article. Because much of the article is about how, and then, after a while, the town got used to it. And now everybody likes it. And, like, they're all very neighborly. Some people learn Spanish, and like it's a very like that's what happens over time with immigration.
Everything gets better more or less.
Right, like there are even studies like yes, there is tension right away. That's humans are bad, and that this is how they act. But over time, it improves socially, economically, all the things get better. And that's what the article was basically about. And laying out all these quotes from people, he did not mention that at all. Obviously not. But it's sort of like this period of time where it's like he's not doing any work, actually. This is like really lazy. And it's sort of clear, like, are sixth graders writing these things for him? And he has had Nazis have to resign from writing his show before.
He sure did.
Right, right.
Scott Greer. What's his name? Blake Neff was his head writer. And he had to resign because people found posts from him that were not, it was Nazi shit. And it's interesting to me so much because he's able to say like, yeah, but he resigned. He's not. And I've heard like people argue this, like, yeah, but they fired that guy. And it's like, so if for a few years, people watching this show have thought, wow, that sounds like a Nazi wrote it. Like this is Nazi stuff in this way and in this way and in this way and in this way, Nazi stuff. And then it's revealed that the head writer was like a 20-year-old Nazi. That seems to indicate a problem, right?
Right.
Even his response to this was like, lofty bullshit Tucker. Like, we're all human, you know, when we pretend we're holy, we're lying. And one of the things he said was that what Neff wrote anonymously was wrong. It was wrong. Anonymously was wrong. It wasn't wrong what he wrote on the show. We don't endorse those words. They have no connection to the show. And it's that kind of stuff that's like so frustrating to see said and then have it work.
But then because the damage is done by that point. Like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But like, just like him being able to say like, we don't endorse those words. They have no connection to the show. Right. Well, actually, everybody's been saying your show sounds like it's written by Nazis.
I guess they were right. Yeah.
They were correct about that. And now you're saying that those words aren't connected. It's like, well, no, we showed you. And again, he obviously knows. But this is it's a long line of these things happening and nothing ever coming about from it. And then more and more people watch his show and it's maddening. Is my point, I think. I think that's my ultimate point.
Yeah. No, it is very maddening. I mean, when you were referencing Nick Fuentes before the break, looking at the quote, and something that really, like, I had, like, it just made me, like, low-key, like, gave me chills. Like, I'm scared of this line, but he says, like, what he thinks Carlson got right about the white nationalist talking point, and he says, demographic replacement, ADL, Israel, it's all there, a full red pill. Can you feel it? We are inevitable. That's terrifying. I don't.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah,
hate
you
that.
See see that a lot these days too. A lot of with the, it's like some twerps from the Federalist.
They're just spelling it out. They're spelling it out shamelessly. Like they know exactly.
Yeah, they don't because it's all gotten normalized enough that they don't have to. They don't have to be coy anymore. They don't have to hide the power level because white nationalism is not. It's not the dominant strain of right wing ideology, but it is a main. It is mainstream now. Yeah, it is one of the largest chunks of right wing ideology.
When like now nowadays you get these people sort of saying because like there's some still like mask on like quote mask on like that I can see through that mask
hood right? on yeah
but mm-hmm. like framing it like it's inevitable not in this way not the Fuentes inevitable but more in like a you know if the left is going too far now we're gonna the right is gonna elect a fascist like not mm-hmm. Trump fascist but like a real fascist and they're saying it in a way of like. We don't want it to happen, but if you keep acting like this, it's inevitable. I might not even vote for that person, but it's gonna happen.
It's on you, yeah.
Yeah, which is like it's just like the slow normalization of all this stuff, and like so now they're just saying that it's going to happen, and not in a way where it's like it's gonna happen, and I'm gonna try to stop it.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen, and that what are you gonna happen, do?
And that's good because otherwise people will read, I don't know. Ruby Bridges book about being a young black girl trying to integrate into a school and being assaulted by white people. And if people read history, we need a fascist to make sure that.
Yeah.
Happen.
Make sure you can't read that history.
Yeah. Or alter it. We haven't gotten to this point yet, but he compares what's happening to this country to Rwanda.
Yeah.
Literally the Rwandan government like has altered history like when it comes to what they've done and like what he's referring to even it's really silly that he's comparing those two things because the teaching of critical race theory in schools like led people to like it was just a massacre, right? What year was that? It was like the 80s or something.
No, it was in the 90s.
Right? 90s.
It was in the mid-90s. Clinton was president. Yeah, and a lot of it was driven, a huge amount of the genocide, at least 10% of the total death toll, based on the best surveys we have, was driven by talk radio.
Yeah.
You know, by people who were essentially Tucker Carlson's in their culture, trying specifically to do the kind of thing Tucker's going to do if he ever gets the chance.
Yeah, the same way like the right, like people on the right are trying to rewrite what's happening in America. Like that's literally what Rwanda
did. What happened
did.
On the 6th?
Like, yeah, they rewrote their history to like make it this like national, like we were in the right the whole time. We did what we could. X, Y, Z. Kind of.
Yeah, stuff. it's all sort of circulating this like preservation of myths and stuff, and that's what Tucker's reacting to.
Preservation of myth. I like that.
A large part of the project and like yeah like they want to it's why the you know the there's a 1619 project and then response Trump and his administration of goofabouts did their 1776 project which was literally just like no actually like America's fucking perfect and here's mm-hmm. how it happened and it is just like no we need to have these national myths to be true otherwise it's chaos like well or like people aren't again they're not children.
Mm-hmm.
They can learn things and process them and analyze them in ways that don't make them jealous little 5-year-olds, I guess.
But I think that Carlson treats his viewers like children and it works. Like, literally it works.
Yeah.
And that's what's unsettling is that over 3 million people watch his show like every time it's on. And he talks to them like children.
Yes.
And they're hooked. Like, they're like, yes, they nod along. And so it's just a little bit unsettling when that actually is the reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's Orwell wrote about the 2 minutes hate. And the main thing he got wrong is that people actually want a lot more than 2 minutes of that every day.
Yeah. They need at least a tight 30, right?
At least a tight 30. Yeah.
Even these, like it is that like, cause it feels like the things he's saying are, it's written by like fifth grade Nazis and it's for like, sixth grade, like maybe Nazis,
right?
Even his little like 20-minute segment about how America's great because we don't eat dogs, it was prefaced with him being like, "There's a lot of news out there, folks. Like you know, we like it's too much. It's like you know, if you get overwhelmed and like you'll, if you pay too much, like literally one of the lines is, if you pay too much attention, you'll think America is a bad country.
Wow.
Which is like, yeah, I guess so,
yeah,
buddy.
That is a fact. Yeah.
But like framing it like, and so we're like, for the first 20 minutes, we don't normally do this. We're going to just talk about how nice things are. And then he did this whole thing about how like, yeah, look at the lakes we have and the trees are nice. And it is just their children. Yeah. That he's talking to.
Yeah.
It's very embarrassing.
And also, the policies you specifically advocate will poison those lakes or sell them off to Nestle and lead to the destruction of those trees climate change accelerated wildfires like the ones burning 4 hours south of me right now. And I don't know, Cody, what, an hour north of you?
Oh, yeah. So close. Wow.
So close. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
You know who won't poison our freshwater lakes and leave our children gasping in the deserts of the future that used to be riverbeds?
Can you say this with confidence, whoever it's going to be?
I absolutely cannot, Cody.
All right. Okay.
These products and services may be part of the machinery of death that's slowly choking our planet, but not a big part. And what else? What are you going to do? Not buy products?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Here's ads.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go, right? There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. On NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's part existential deep dive and part game show. I ask actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to ask some of life's biggest questions. Listen to NPR's Wildcard on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
We're back, and we were just talking about how more and more people are watching Tucker Carlson all the time.
Yeah, more and more people are saying this.
Not quite true.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Wow, Robert has good news? Where am I?
Well, it's not great news. Based on kind of the most recent data I was able to find about his show, the last couple of months, there was a slight drop in overall viewers, but a slight raise in key demographic viewers, which is adults from 25 to 54. So overall, slightly fewer. Maybe they died of COVID because he told them not to get vaccinated. That said, it's not like he has a solid base of listeners. It's not like exploding, but it's big and it doesn't seem to be really shrinking either.
Also, it's possible that it's sort of wearing thin a little bit. Because he also has that morning, that daytime show now, too, where he interviews people. So, like, he's just doing so much and wrong all the time so much that maybe they're like, all right, it's like, what Tucker will I watch today? He's got two shows out every day.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like Robert.
Chat about the NSA shit he brought up, which I guess the gist of it seems to be that Tucker Carlson was trying to, or was in the process of trying to reach out to someone within the Russian government who could get a message to Putin to try to interview Putin, right? And he started making the claim that the NSA, that someone had told him, someone within the government had told him that the NSA was spying on him and engaged in a conspiracy to destroy his television show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The NSA has said they were not spying on Tucker Carlson, which... Nah. Is both a lie and true. I believe they right. were not specifically spying on Tucker Carlson. I think they were spying on Tucker in the way they're spying on literally all of us.
Yeah. Also, just it's wild to me that this is because the NSA doesn't really make a lot of statements, like public statements.
It is so wild.
Yeah. It is so wild that this is the time where they're like, okay, it's time to come out of the woodwork. Yeah. Like, you know what? It's just, it blows my mind.
Whenever the NSA or the FBI in particular, or Homeland Security, make a specific statement about whether or not a case exists or a specific statement about an ongoing case, that's a big deal because they're 99% of the time, they do not make any kind of comment about ongoing case. So it's kind of shows that like they saw this as something they had to get out in front
of.
Right.
Now, that said, again, the NSA is always lying because they're the NSA.
Well, right. So also the
Tucker's
thing is
also like, always lying.
Tucker's a liar. and loves the attention and loves to be loves to be targeted. I will say
it's so important that the NSA are just obsessed.
Exactly.
You know?
He's finally got his revenge for not getting in the CIA. but I will say so like he's a liar. The NSA is liars. There's probably a reasonable explanation for this. Again, like it's the same thing with like a lot of the Trump Russia stuff where it's like, yeah, we were like spying on like people. And then you talked to those people. And that, so we that have that communication.
Probably, like if he's reaching out to, especially if they're foreign registered foreign agents in the United States, it would totally make sense that the NSA would have gotten a record of like whatever. And that said, there's no evidence.
However, the president, the current one, and our government has made it very clear that they view white supremacy as a domestic terrorist threat. And I am generally aware of what the government does with who they view as terrorists. So it would stand to reason that they could very well be like, well, he's the leader. He's the guy. He's the propagandist doing all this stuff. But it does seem like there's a more reasonable explanation for this than that.
I don't think without giving like again, I have very famously done some like. In the past, I have communicated with people for the government whose job is to look into white supremacy, right? I would be shocked if there was any kind of understanding or acceptance at the kind of levels necessary to approve surveillance of an individual that Tucker Carlson is a major part of the white supremacy. Like, he is. I would be shocked if that was... If anyone with any kind of power in the NSA was willing to acknowledge that, I would be completely shocked. I just don't believe that's what's going on. I think it's very likely he was reaching out to somebody in the connected to the Russian government, and maybe
he wanted this interview. Yeah. And
again, the NSA hoovers up every single thing everyone ever says, probably. So I'm sure they're spying on him to that extent, right?
Yes,
right.
But. I don't.
Well, the idea of like they're gonna try to take down his Fox News show, which like is like not possible. That's the other thing, where it's like he's gonna be on the air forever.
That's how self-important he thinks he is. Like he thinks he's so important that the NSA's ultimate goal is to cancel his TV show.
Like, yeah,
what
and it's
planet there, are you on?
There was a fun story from Axios that suggests he's really angry at Fox. They wouldn't like he's been beating this drum that like the NSA spying on me and Fox News hasn't covered it at all. Like they haven't done like the actual news chunk of Fox is just kind of like let that one be.
Right. That's weird because like especially Fox News would be like, we gotta fucking talk about this. Like that seems like the kind of red meat that they love.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're not addressing it at all is
they also haven't issued any statements of public support for Carlson, nor have they condemned the NSA, which kind of suggests like either they know it's bullshit or they're like, well, we don't want to touch this. This is just like Yeah.
We don't want to give more attention to this, I guess. But didn't they? So in a text to a CNN reporter, Carlson called the allegation that he's angry with Fox executives absurd. He said, mm-hmm. I'm not mad at anyone at Fox. If I was, I'd say so. I'm mad at you for lying relentlessly. What a loathsome person you are. Please print that.
Yeah, that's Tucker. Classic. That's how he talks. People eat it up.
In the text. That's a text. Like, not everyone talks like they text, but.
Yeah, no, that's exactly, even the cadence is there. I don't like that I know
A moment
that.
Of silence. Moment of silence.
Yep. A moment of silence for Cody's sense of inner peace.
Yeah, just the existential dread that's overwhelming us all. It's just...
Oh, it's so good. You gotta love existential dread.
Eat it up, eat it up.
Of the dreads, easily my favorite kind of dread.
Easily. Oh, no question, no question.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about Tucker Carlson. Talking about... the critical race theory, there's a bigger... sub story on critical race theory, which is like the speed with which the entire right wing picked this up and like got their marching orders and set to work trying to criminalize the teaching of history under the guise of stopping critical race theory. It's a real problem. It's a problem.
It's a whole thing,
they all get on the same message and how also, effective those campaigns are.
Yeah, there's something also, I think, too, because it's not just that they're very effective at it. Because, like this came from a guy who was like, we're going to critical race theory, and we're going to call everything that, and we're going to do this. And, like, it worked really well. They're also really good at not, it's not just that, like, they're focused. It's that they shift everybody else's focus.
Right.
Now you have, okay, well, I guess we got to talk about critical race theory. I guess we're going to do a whole explainer on that. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the conversation now. So they introduce these things that are these sort of like AstroTurf like campaigns of like, oh, they look at these angry parents. They're just GOP operatives and things like that. But then it gets people angry. And then the left has to be like, okay, well, all right, I guess we'll do what you want to say.
Yeah, I guess we have to address this now because you won't shut up about it.
Yeah.
We'll continue not dealing with the climate because we've got to yell about whether or not teachers can relay basic facts about American history to children without getting arrested.
Right.
So that's fun.
And there's no like, it'd be nice to like as an example, have like the Democratic Party be able to do that on things like climate. And just like, no, this is what we're going to talk about every day. All of us. You. I know we're in different states, but we're all talking about this. And they just suck so fucking bad at it.
They do. They're all useless, by which I mean liberals and the entirety of the mainstream media. They're all completely failed to adapt to the basic realities of the new world and are still... clinging to things like the premise of objectivity, but only in a way that empowers blatant falsehoods that will eventually criminalize the thing that they do for a living. We're all just kind of marching towards the edge of a steeper and steeper cliff. But you know what, Cody?
Ooh.
One of these days, Tucker Carlson's going to die.
Painfully? Yep.
Maybe.
I've never seen Cody smile before.
A lot of people die painfully, Cody.
It's true.
Now, so will everyone you love, but, you know, you gotta take the bad with the good.
Why did you have to, what are we... My dog won't die, though, right?
Never, Cody.
No, your dog's gonna live forever.
Never.
That's right.
Yeah.
Smile number two, awesome,
all dogs,
of the week.
Even if it did, all dogs go to heaven. So.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's a movie. Just go with it. It's a cartoon.
Majored in,
you never watched that cartoon growing up?
It's good.
I did.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's where they go. It's kind of scary.
It is kind of weird. It's kind of unsettling as a child.
It is one of the... There's the two kinds of Disney movies, the ones where the bad guy dies at the end and the ones where he doesn't. And that's definitely one where he like drives off a bridge or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's some gruesome stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Some heady shit for sure.
Yeah. I think Hell was, I think, pretty disturbing too.
Mm-hmm. Regardless,
but it's fine. Dogs don't go there. So
yeah, exactly.
Dogs don't go to hell. I don't know. What should we end this on? Something good happened, right? Something happy?
Okay, I have something.
Oh, I've got something. Okay, yeah, you start us, Sophie.
Okay, here's my something that I just saw from the @POTUS account on Instagram. So in order to get young people vaccinated, Joe Biden has posted a young Joe Biden photo as a thirst trap to be like, I know this young person would have gotten vaccinated. Which
are
I'm
you
like,
fucking kidding me?
I'm not fucking kidding you.
Did they use the terms thirst trap, Biden's people?
No, I use that because I'm Sophie. Okay.
But that's what it is.
But that's what it is. It's the one hot pick.
Fucking like what was the other day? There was like a picture of Kamala and Joe, and they're walking, and they're like, "We don't get a case of the Sunday scaries when we're working for the American people." And it's like, stop fucking talking. Like you're, it's
their
be a fucking
media,
president. Go be a president.
Protect like, voting rights. You.
It's like I'm a small bean. I get anxiety. Like, sorry,
they are insufferable. Their social media presence makes them more insufferable.
You guys, look how good young Joe Biden looks in this red shirt.
But
I feel like that kind of tactic to be like, to just keep doing these really stupid ways to try to convince people to get vaccinated. Like, I obviously think people should get vaccinated too, but it kind of
none of this is going to work.
But it also feeds the people that are like, the government is forcing us to get vaccinated. Why are they trying so hard? Why are they trying so hard? And it's like, I don't like that their attempt is kind of doing the opposite of what it should.
Why am I getting a text about vaccines? Like, well. Yeah. So we want you to get vaccinated.
You bribe people.
I understand it's weird to have the government talking to you about this stuff, but also, like, please go get the vaccine. But
Give them money. There was one person that kind of made me, they made me feel like, because I don't trust the government, we should never trust the government, but me getting vaccinated was like, they trust the government more than I do, or they don't trust the government more than I do. Like, either they're not going to get vaccinated because we don't trust anything. Like, you're a sheep.
You don't trust this photo of young Joe Biden telling you to get vaccinated before the vaccine was even created. I don't know. Science.
I will agree with you. The government has a shitty track record on just about everything. You know what has a great track record? The concept of vaccinations.
The idea of vaccines.
Raise your hand if you know someone who's died of polio.
Yeah.
Like,
the argument that I've seen sometimes is like, cancer has been around for years. We don't have a cure for cancer. And it's like, shut up. Like,
we can cure a lot of cancers, actually.
Yeah.
We have a lot of treatments for cancer. Doesn't Cuba have a lung cancer vaccine?
Yeah, it's a specific type, right? But yes.
Yeah, but still.
Like, their arguments are just absurd, is what I'm trying to say. It's like, they'll list different things that, like, there's no cure for this yet. How could there be a cure in, like, a couple of days?
It's hard.
And also, it's not a cure.
It's a fucking vaccine.
Also, it's not a cure. Also, like, it was a very clear, like, if your point is that we should actually, like, pool all of our resources together and quickly try to cure diseases so everybody can have, like, healthcare, then make that point. But that's not what they're saying. They're just making, like, excuses. Like,
how about we defund the military and try to make that happen for you? But
all of the aircraft carrier money and put it towards doctors.
Yeah.
But, like, what they're doing is saying, like they're just not recognizing, for a year, everyone was like, we gotta make a vaccine. Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
Yeah.
So we did that. If only we could do that for other things.
And if only they had a different fucking tactic that wasn't insufferable on social media to make it happen. But I'm curious, Robert, what was your happy thing?
I do have something happy. So
is it also Biden's thirst trap?
No. I'll be saving that for later tonight, though.
good, when I'm in bed
with Mitch McConnell. Nothing gets Mitch McConnell off like young pictures.
Nothing gets his powder out.
Nothing spurts that dust from his
I've never been drier.
Like
Stop it.
Yeah. Neither is Mitch, Shireen.
Neither's Mitch. That's right.
So there's this pastor in Oklahoma named Jackson Lehmeyer, something like that, who's running a primary challenge to Republican Senator James Lankford. And he's running to the right of this guy, right? And he's yelling that Lankford didn't challenge the certification of Joe Biden's election victory. He's, you know, a pro January 6th Capitol attack kind of person, huge MAGA guy. And over the last couple of months, He's like embraced QAnon. He's done like pictures with Q people, and like he's clearly trying to use QAnon to like help get elected, right? There was a problem though earlier in July. Someone took a picture of his daughter on the campaign trail, and she was wearing red shoes. Now, because QAnon people all have given themselves a terminal case of brain worms, they're convinced that red shoes are how members of the cabal secretly signal in public that they're pedophiles. Yeah. So now a bunch of Q people are convinced that this Q, like this pastor's daughter is a pedophile. And he had to take to Facebook and like complain about this. I've been in the ministry for years, never any accusations whatsoever. Now all of a sudden I'm being accused of everything under the sun by one particular woman, and some people don't have enough discernment to determine right from wrong. Unfortunately, I have to say it because people are asking me. I'm in no way involved with child sex trafficking, pedophilia, or devil worship. If you believe that, it actually says more about you than it does me. It's just so funny because it's like, yeah, motherfucker, that's what happens. And by the way, his daughter in this is like 10.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think maybe they're saying that her red shoes are like a sign that he's a pedophile, right?
Oh, but he's abusing her?
Yeah, it's that's this horrible, terrible nonsense. It's like that's why you don't give these people the time of day or treat them like they're legitimate, because it just makes there more of them and they just get more and more unhinged and you can't control them, you fucking idiot.
But also
this
for me, like,
shit's going
if I
to come back against
that,
all of you one of these days.
Yeah, and if you hadn't heard about that, like, oh, I didn't consider that until you said that. You know, like, now that you mentioned that, I will associate you with these things.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
It was funny, even though the reason why it happened is also very frightening. Sometimes
the red
just
shoes
laugh.
Things is wild. That's
so like it's just such a
it's
that
people
all the
locked
time.
In
it's
their houses like... whose families won't talk to them because they're clearly deranged, spending all of their time looking at like photos and videos of people they've never met but are convinced are part of a satanic conspiracy, trying to find more reasons to believe in that conspiracy. That's right. All that it is.
One of the things they cite probably is like the Wizard of Oz. Dorothy was really going through it, you know, like that mm-hmm. that's a pedophile movie now, you mm-hmm. know, she just needs the red shoes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, probably were some pedophiles involved with that movie because it was Hollywood, but
yeah,
that's neither here nor
trying.
There really.
The first red shoes I think of are those for some reason. So I'm just like, I wonder why.
They're very famous red shoes. Yeah.
They are mm-hmm. very famous red shoes.
Yeah. Look, the yellow brick road. No, I'm not even gonna. Okay.
No.
We should bring this to an end.
Yeah. End all my very terrible joke. Let's do that.
Shireen.
Thanks for we can find you online.
Helping
unfortunately,
us out.
Today. Unfortunately, I am online. If you want to follow me, it's ShiroHero666 on Twitter and just ShiroHero on Instagram. And
thank you so much.
I am sorry.
We're all sorry.
We are. It's true.
Sorry that we didn't spend more time talking about the powdery nature of Mitch McConnell's ejaculate.
Yeah. It's just
that'll be the whole hour next week.
It's just biology. Like, what do we like? We're not going to shame him. It's how he is. It's how
no.
He
why would we shame him for the fact that sometimes spider eggs get caught in his pee hole and he ejaculates live spiders with the dust? Why would we shame
why.
Him for that?
I don't know why.
Don't body shame people you disagree with. Okay,
that is fair. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
kind of.
And yet here we are.
And yet here we are.
Disparaging his powder.
His powder.
I'm the problem here. Disparaging his powder.
I could make a joke about the movie Powder, which was made by a pedophile, but instead, I'm just going to end the episode.
Good.
Yeah, thanks
good.
For having me.
Good.
This was okay. Yeah.
Bye, guys. Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb, and it's going to get dumber.
Great. I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the Ferryman of Souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused. I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge this season of The Passage now. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.